Our first reading today is taken from Isaiah 9, verses 2 through to 7. And it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be a fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Our second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen."
All right, as the first day of Advent, we will begin our series on the heart of Christmas. And thank you, Karen, for bringing those thoughts on hope and comparing that with optimism, and for that little video. Thank you. Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here today at the beginning of Advent, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is our light in darkness. Lord, we pray that he will illuminate our hearts, Lord, and that you will open our minds right now to your word. We pray that you will fill us with the hope and peace that Jesus brings to us. Lord, we pray that your presence will be felt among us, Lord, as we reflect on the promise of hope, the promise that you have made for us and has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for you are always with us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. The heart of Christmas. And you know, Advent is a time to reflect on the anticipation and preparation for the coming of Christ. I'll let that roll for a moment. When I was growing up, I had what people call the fear of light, of darkness. Is that nectophobia? Is that nectophobia? Yeah, I'm correct, right? Yeah, I didn't want to walk when I'm sent on errands. But I tell you what, when my faith ignited and when I met Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, something changed in me. The light of Christ came in, and I could just walk the streets, you know, walk the village, 10 o'clock, without no fear, because I know that I have hope in someone, that he's always with me. So today, we are going to reflect on the subject of hope in promise. Hope in promise. And as we reflect on the two passages we've read from Isaiah chapter 9 and then from Matthew 1, I know you remember that the prophet Isaiah is often regarded as, you know, one of the one of the most prominent prophets that provided prophecies about Christ, detailed prophecies about Jesus Christ. In fact, there are three key passages in the book of Isaiah that points to Christ. The first one is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4, where he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." So it's often linked to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And also our passage today, Isaiah 9, in 6 and 7, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." And he goes on to list the other qualities. And then the suffering servant passage in Isaiah 53, we know that Jesus suffered rejection, suffering, and eventually he triumphed as the Messiah. So this is seen as a very vivid prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus, his suffering, his death, and everything he did for us. So Advent is a scene of expecting the return of Christ. And this is what we are going to do throughout this season. Today, centering on hope in the promise. And next Sunday, we center on peace, peace in the midst of chaos. And then on the third Sunday, on the subject of joy, joy in all circumstances. I know we are also going to talk a little bit about light on that day, but you know, staying with our theme for Advent, joy in all circumstances, and then Jesus came down as love. So we're going to reflect on these subjects as we look towards the hope that Jesus brought for us. For me also, I believe that Advent is in threefold. You know, during Advent, it turns out that the days grow shorter and colder, as I've experienced this past week. I'm not very good with cold yet. And you see trees lose their leaves, and they appear lifeless. Even on the coldest and cloudiest days, when the sky seems to be covered in gray and the sun is hidden from view, that's why I've put that there, we know that the sun is still there, right? We know that it's shining from above and behind the clouds. The presence of the sun is very certain, even when we can't see it. And of course, we feel the warmth sometimes. Similarly, the presence of Christ in our lives is assured, even when things are dark, even when we, you know, come to the place that we think there is no hope for situations that we've prayed for, even when we can't feel his presence, even when it seems that our prayers are not answered, his love and his light is always with us. I believe that strongly. He's always guiding us through our struggles sometimes, not away from our struggles, but through our struggles and those uncertainties. So our hope in Christ should remain steadfast, just like the sun, even when we can't see the sun shining physically, but we know that the sun is there. So like I said, for me, Advent as a period is also pointing to three things. Number one, the first Advent for me, celebrating the historic events of the birth of Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. So that's a fact. That's the Advent, the first Advent. But I also believe that recognizing and welcoming Christ's continual presence in our hearts, in our daily lives, also signals a form of Advent in someone's heart when we welcome Christ as our hope. And he gives us the promise of eternal life. I believe that Advent has dawned on that person's heart. And of course, looking forward with hope and anticipation to Christ's promised return. He is going to come not as a baby in a manger this time, but as a conquering king riding the horses. He's going to come as a conqueror who is going to rule everything on earth. So as we delve into Isaiah chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 1 this morning, I want us to reflect on the aspect of darkness, all right, personally in people's lives. And I've been thinking about the uncertainty and things happening around us these days. Wars and rumors of wars, hunger, insecurity, even the recent flooding the other day, severe storms, all these things as we have been seeing around us. It feels like there is darkness everywhere these days. Darkness in the hearts of people and darkness in the systems. Social injustice, sometimes economic instability, and also the growing effects of the global warming. These things could cast shadows in our minds and over the lives of people. But there is hope. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know why it's not changing, but you can change it for me from there, please. There is hope for us, hope in the promise of Jesus Christ. So today, I would like to bring us four thoughts before I draw to a close. Number one, looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, light in the darkness. How this prophecy brings hope amidst despair. And then Matthew chapter 1, 22 and 23, the birth of a Savior, the fulfillment of the divine promise in the form of Jesus' birth. Then Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, the promise of the Prince of Peace, understanding the gift of peace that Jesus brings to us. And then finally, the promise of eternal life. When we embrace the assurance that Jesus has come to give us, then we have the promise of eternal life, eternity with him. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, he proclaims, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light," a great light, a great light, reference to Jesus Christ. "On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So he described the suffering of the people of Israel, particularly in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. If you go a little bit further, the first verse, he describes the suffering of the people of Israel around Zebulun and Naphtali. And then he says, despite their affliction, there is a great light that will shine in their darkness. So it resonates deeply with me, because when we encounter darkness in our lives, we believe that Jesus will come and will give us his light. Personal struggles that we struggle with, societal challenges like I've mentioned, and the global darkness everywhere. I was listening this morning to someone, and they were quoting another person, and the person said, if Jesus were to be alive in 2024, he will be canceled. He will be canceled because of the woke and cancel culture that we see today. Definitely, Jesus would have been canceled. He would have been coming up against the woke ideology that we see in our generation today. For me, this is a form of darkness in the hearts of people, form of darkness in the system of things. But I still know, believe that Jesus is the hope that we have. Do you believe that? Jesus is the only hope that the world needs today. And you know, the Christianity is always countercultural, right? That's what I believe. We are called to be a light in darkness. We are called not to conform to the world, but we are called to be the change that we want to see in the world today. So when we believe in Christ, sometimes it will be like being against the flow. And I'm not afraid to be canceled. I'm not afraid to come against, you know, what people think that, like I mentioned the other day, what I believe in the scriptures I strongly stamp my foot on, and I'm not going to change, because I believe that the gospel, Jesus is the gospel. I believe that the Bible is the written word of God, the inerrant word of God, and that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said it himself. So he's not a way, he is the way. It is only through him that we will see light. It's only through him that we will come to the Lord. So, yeah, I hear it today. I get it. People say there are different ways to get to the Lord. There are different ways. All of us will finally end the same destination. But for me, I believe what Jesus said, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You will come against, you know, people who, you know, think different things and believe different things. But that's all right. I respect you for whatever you hold. But I'm not going to change. I am going to still stick on what I believe. I know the scriptures have said, and which is true. And for me, the gospel is the word of God. In Matthew 1, 22 and 23, we now see a reference to Isaiah's prophecy. In fact, the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. He says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. Reference to Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, it's not just a historical event. I believe that it is the embodiment of God's promises. He promised to be with us. God with us. All this was done. All this took place, as Matthew began to say. You remember the dreams that Joseph had when suddenly he found out that Mary was pregnant? He was very righteous, so he didn't want to get involved with any of those things, and he was thinking to just send her away. But you remember when he was in the dream, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and then assured him that this is okay. I have my hands on this. Just take her as your wife, because what she has is not of any human making. It is beyond our comprehension. This is divine. So all this took place. That's reference to the dream of Joseph. All this took place to fulfill what Isaiah said. So what Joseph went through and what he was thinking, the dreams he had, all of them took place to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah. That was what the Lord was doing. God is with us. So when we feel that everywhere is dark, when we feel there is no hope, you know, when we think that, oh, the Lord has stayed too long to answer me, let's just reassure ourselves, God is with us. Praise God. God is with us. I believe that. I believe that strongly. But I tell you, I know you know this, when you are the center of some of those problems, when you are the receiving end of those things, it's difficult for you to wrap your hands around the fact that God is with us. But we know that even when the sun is shining and we can't see it, we feel the effects of the sun. Now, Isaiah goes on, in verse 6 and verse 7, to describe the coming of this child who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So each of these titles, as we see reading the scripture, reflects an aspect of the mission of Christ. So Christ has come as a wonderful counselor. A wonderful counselor, when we are in doubts about things, he will reveal his truth to us, the way we should follow. I don't know about you, but sometimes, maybe in confusion, maybe you are between opinions, you ask, you pray, and God will speak to you. Sometimes, in, you know, silently in your heart, or sometimes through what someone will say. It has happened to me even here. You know, when someone will be saying something, they wouldn't know that God is using them to answer something, you know, to tell me what he wants me to do or the path he wants me to follow. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. He is always ready to save us. He will always make a way where there is no way. He goes on to say that he is everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the only one that will give us lasting peace. So he brings peace that surpasses all understanding. Not as the world gives, but his peace is everlasting. And so he promised that we will have hope through what he has come to do for us, redemption in Jesus Christ. He speaks of the transformative power of the intervention in the midst of despair. So when we are in doubt, let's cling on this hope. As we journey through Advent, let's remember that Jesus is our promise of hope. And not just for a single day, but for eternity. The hope is for eternity. He is there. He has come. He suffered. And he is coming back again. Let's allow the light of Christ to shine in our hearts. And let us find peace in the peace of Christ and rest in the assurance of God's eternal hope. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are the Prince of Peace, wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Lord, we thank you for your promise that you have saved us. You brought us out of darkness, and you have put us into your marvelous light. I thank you, Lord, because when you came into my heart, when I was just a teenager, you put your boldness in my life. And from that day till today, I have seen Christ transform me into the person that he wants me to be. Lord, I am praying. Perhaps there is someone that is still uncertain of your presence with them. I pray that the light of Christ will shine in their hearts and that you will redeem us, Lord, and that you will wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray, O Lord, for the week ahead of us, wherever we will be, that you will go before us and that you will go with us. Lord, we ask for all the activities that we have this coming month. It's a very busy month for us. We pray that you will use whatever we are going to do or say to bring Jesus to people and that the people will make a commitment to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for the volunteers we have, for the fellowship, the way, Lord, we are very eager and willing to use our gifts, our talents, whatever we have, our resources to serve you. I pray your blessings, Lord, upon every one of us. We are all important in you. Yes, Lord, I strongly believe there is no useless person in the body of Christ. We are all gifted differently. We have something we bring. Lord, we pray that you will help us to realize this, recognize this, that we have something to offer. And for whatever they are, Lord, we'll use them to glorify your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for we know you are always with us. May the light of Christ continue to shine in our hearts. And may this Advent be a different one for us, that we will feel the presence of God closer to us, and that we will know, be assured every day that the sun, S-U-N, is shining in our lives, and that the sun, S-O-N, is always with us. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.